All right, lovelies. I now declare the council meeting for the 22nd. Those people in the back row. 22nd of January, open. Can I have apologies? There have been no apologies received. Councillor Brian Scott is still speaking from heaven. Brian, are you still there? I just warn you, May, that he comes in from heaven every now and then.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I see it's the voice of God.
It is. Yeah. It's absolutely the voice of God.
Hey, Marion, in relation to your comment about booming and that, I suggest you turn the volume down slightly if required.
Thank you, dear. Okay.
I quite like it, Brian.
The agenda is basically the short-term water permits plan. But the first thing that I'd like to take is a resolution to exclude the public. I'd like to move this from the chair. Have I a seconder?
Yep, second.
Thank you, dear. Is there any discussion on this issue? People happy for the public to be excluded?
Hillary? Disagree. I actually think
sorry,
should
I thought Hillary is moving.
Yes, I'm happy for Gary to go first.
Gary, go for it.
All I was going to say was I disagree. I think we should be doing this in public session.
Hillary?
I would like to know
why.
I mean, I realise it's around legal privilege, but I'm thinking that there's a lot of staff advice that we may get that could be useful in the public arena.
Okay. And I accept the staff advice useful in the public arena, but this is at the stage where we meet is the adversarial stage of this. We are about to narrow down the points that will go to be notified in the plan. In order for us to hear legal advice, either from May or other legal advice prepared by the staff, we can't hear that in public. Okay?
We can.
Yes. Could we? What I think might is. No? What I think you proposed earlier, Madam Chair, is that we have not only this meeting but the next meeting also not in public.
The next meeting on the 11th of March?
No, the rest of the agenda, Mary.
There's nothing else on the agenda but this.
That's all there is.
This is the only matter on the agenda.
Yes, I'm saying that we won't have met in public about this issue, and there's two issues about that. If we don't meet in public at all, we don't have any of the reason. The public don't have any idea why we came up with what we come up with. It could just turn into magically an operative thing without us. And we don't have. We not only don't have us talking in public, but neither do we have the reports we get from our staff. Now, I understand why there's legal privilege and things that we get from lawyers should be not out there for a variety of reasons, but we ought to be able to have at least the next meeting, if not this one, produced in a way that we don't have any reason to exclude the public for the next meeting. If we keep having lawyers coming along to our meetings, and it's good that we have them, I mean, we need them, but if we keep doing that, then we exclude the public every time, and we need our staff reports to be able to be in front of the public. So if we say we did it because of such and such advice, that advice needs to be able to be public too.
Okay, can I ask May for comment?
Might I suggest something that would assist the councillors? Maybe have your cake and eat it too. It is important for you to take advice in private, but of course the deliberations and all of the discussions you have can be in private, but of course the decisions that you take and the reasons for them and the documentation or the facts on which they're based can be made fully transparent in public. So that's always an option for you. It's just that if there is advice that points out areas where there are vulnerabilities or areas where there might likely be legal risk or areas where people might sue you, then it is probably better that you have that without the public present. That doesn't mean to say you can't still achieve your outcome. That's what I'm trying to say.
So how do we...
And you can have that in a public session.
Hold everything, both of you, for a minute, because I realise I've just something very impolite. This is May Chen. I've asked May to come and help us. And the reason I've asked May to come and help us is that many times in these debates, I have heard us criticise the debates that have come from the Wynne Williams or whomever. So I decided to go to somebody that I knew had large respect. So thank you, May, for joining us. Now, Hilary, followed by Michael.
So how do we, in this meeting and the next, achieve that outcome of having the staff information on which we rely and our deliberations and our discussions public and tease out the legal advice that we don't want to have public?
And Michael?
There is another... First of all, May... Michael Laws here. Hello, welcome.
Hello, Michael. It's Hi. Nice to see you again, and it's nice to see you again, Hilary.
I think we can have our cake and eat it too, as May suggests, but we can do it another way as well. We can go into committee or into private to receive May's advice and to test that advice. And then when it comes to the deliberative part of what we're going to do, the motions that are before us today, we can do that in public. That way we would seem not to be compromising our professional legal privilege that May is going to provide us, but at the same time have, as we're required under the Local Government Act and the principles thereof, to have an open and transparent decision-making process available to the public. So I'm just suggesting we can go into committee to receive the legal advice, receive it, test it, have that discussion, and then we move on to the paper and the options. We could go back into public, Marion.
Just looking down at lawyers and things. Are there any other... Oh, sorry, Gwyneth?
There is legal advice attached to the paper at present.
So the legal advice attached to the paper would have to be excised before anyone received it, or it was communicated from anyone in this room to anyone else.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Likewise, if there's any reference to something in that legal advice, in that report, specifically, that would. Apart from that, because that could be redacted.
Okay.
Can I defer to May, but I think that because the paper mentions legal advice, that privilege is waived. As soon as you've mentioned it, you waive privilege, is my understanding, but clearly there's someone far more qualified than that.
May?
Can I suggest... If you identify the substance of that legal advice, then you have waived privilege. But if you simply say that you're taking legal advice, that is not a waiver of privilege.
The substance is outlined in the paper.
So the substance is outlined in the paper, therefore we'd have to modify the paper to make it.
Okay. All those in favour of the motion that I have put, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
No.
Okay, I think I might have to go around the room.
What was the motion, sorry?
The motion was that we go into public exclusion.
Thanks.
Has that conversation got anywhere that we've just
had? No one's moved. No one's moved anything.
Okay.
No one's moved anything. So I'm standing with the original motion that we move into public exclusion. All those in favour, now can I go around the room?
You need a seconder.
I did have a seconder.
Did I second it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yep. So, Hilary, which way are you voting?
No.
Michael Deacon?
Yes.
Alexa, no.
Alexa, thank you. It's got A. Marion Hobbs, yes, I'm obviously. Carmen?
Yes.
Gary?
No.
Michael Laws?
No.
Kevin Malcolm?
No.
Andrew Noon?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Yes.
Brian? Oh, he's not here.
He can vote.
No.
Thank you. And Kate Wilson.
Hello, May. I'm withdrawing on that. Nice to see you. Went to primary school with
Lovely to see you, okay. Chair.
I will see you later.
Okay.
I'm withdrawing.
Six against the motion. The motion has failed. We're still in public unless you... And if, by the way, the consequences of that is that May will now stop.
Okay, can I move a motion then?
Yes.
As a consequence that we receive the legal advice of May Chen in private, in confidence or in committee, that we reject any council documents that are retained to that legal advice, and that we go into open session, and that we go into open session to hold the deliberative policy discussion.
Have you a seconder?
Could I just amend that slightly, so not the report completely, but only redact the part of it that
That's correct.
Says that?
Redact all that part referring to legal advice.
Are the civil servants, is that possible?
There is another way. It comes in your standing orders.
Sorry,
the other way.
That I might be going over with you what we've already debated, but what you can do is you can go to public excluded. You can hear the whole lot so that it's not clunky. You can then make a resolution about what you're going to release.
We've discussed that. That was the option they gave us.
That's not releasing our discussion necessarily. I think
it's
this is a
step. So, sorry. If I could refer you to 17.5 of your standing orders, which says each public excluded meeting must consider and agree by resolution what, if any, information will be released. In addition, the Chief Executive may release information which has been considered at the meeting from which the public has been excluded, where it is determined the grounds to withhold the information no longer exist. So you have a provision in your standing orders.
I prefer Michael's suggestion because we just then take the legal advice out of it and have it all in public rather than think later what we would exclude and what we wouldn't, and the effect of that is that you can listen back later to the record, but you can't actually get it back later in the public here you are.
It has been moved and seconded. Did you want to say something, Gretchen?
I'm probably out of order, but just for councillors to remember conflicts of interest.
We're coming to that.
Yep.
It's all right. First and second. It's moved first and second. Any other comments? All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
Aye.
And against?
He said aye.
Brian did. And against? No, but I'm obviously having to live with this. I don't feel very happy about it. Therefore, the motion is carried, as I understood. Right. Here you go, love.
Okay. All right.
Maybe you'll see.
I'm not going to go through the paper in any detail.
I probably just needs to tell the junior.
What I will just remind you of really briefly is staff took your points of view from the last time we discussed this, and there were some points of view about activity classification, some points of view about term, and some points of view about how we figure out how much water we would give each consent holder. So this paper does a couple of things. First of all, it talks about a proposition in terms of water we propose we would give a consent holder. Most of you said average. We then had the focus group discussion, and on the back of that, we have, in paragraph 13, said we're not suggesting applying an efficiency lens. However, you get that if you have an instantaneous rate of take, which is an average of the maximum take over the five-year period, 2012 to 2017. We deliberately excluded 2018, which was a wet season. So that's what we've suggested there around actual. It does mean that there is the potential for a small gain for the river and a small loss for irrigators, but we don't believe that that's insurmountable based on the advice we got from the ORUG representative who was in the focus group, Anna Gillespie. That seemed to be acceptable. In fact, it was agreed that it was acceptable. So then we've taken you to three options. And these options are quite simply within the confines of the Minister's recommendation of a short-term plan change. Option A is probably the simplest. It holds the line in terms of the majority of what consent holders can do now, but it does impart the maximum take, as I've explained, which does give some environmental benefit. Its controlled activity means consent must be granted. Also, through discussions that have been had with other groups, Fish and Game, iwi, etc., there is a level of comfort with that approach, it would seem. So we don't think that we would hit any obstacles through the consenting process as a consequence of that. I think people are being very pragmatic in understanding that this is a short-term window to get us to the big picture where we actually deal with the whole shooting match and sort out how we do this. Option A is, we think, as consistent as it can be with the NPSFM, addresses in part objectives B2, which is over allocation and economic well-being, and addresses the Minister's recommendations for low-cost, simple, short-term. The lower, as per advice that we put to you this week, a controlled activity is traditionally a less expensive processing cost than a discretionary activity or a non-complying activity. Some of that is because it can only be granted, so there's not a whole point in arguing for a decline because you can't get there. And also, there's a level of discretion over what is controlled. It's not broad in terms of how you deal with issues. Option B is where we provide for a second pathway, which is a slightly longer consent term. The key words in option B are less than minor short and long-term effects. In all reality, I think the chances of an irrigation consent, when you start looking at the cumulative effects of the allocation in the catchment, in all reality, would you get a consent through? I'm not sure that you would. I'm not predetermining anything. I'm just saying on the bare facts, I'm not sure that you would. Arguably, maybe it might address some of the concern that abstractors have raised, but I don't think we're talking a slightly longer consent. You know, I don't think we're talking 25 to 35 years, which is the sort of seems to be the investment kind of threshold that irrigators are talking about in terms of bankability. So option B is not a one-size-fits-all. It meets some of the Minister's recommendations. It does introduce complexity that we probably don't need. And consenting costs will be variable depending on how much of a fight people want to have in terms of the second pathway, which could mean that it's not necessarily a controlled activity but a different kind of activity, and then that means there could be hearings and all manner of other things. Option C, this is similar to option A, but not entirely, because it's a one-size-fits-all, straightforward, discretionary activity. So in that case, it's a one-size-fits-all, but it provides for each application to be considered on a case-by-case basis with very little guidance from council. And that's where you get into the very granular arguments about, you know, whether this consent has more, this application has more merit than another and all the rest of that. I just want to talk to you briefly about why we've presented, I know you've got the legal advice, I'm not sure if you've read that, But I just want to put it into layman's terms about why we didn't recommend a permitted activity framework.
You're not talking about the legal advice, are you? You're just,
no.
You're talking about your advice.
I'm talking about my advice. I'm not giving you legal advice. It's really... The reason why we haven't recommended a permitted activity framework is kind of twofold. Normally, permitted activities are reserved for those things that have a relatively minor effect on the environment. But aside from that, in terms of the irrigators and where they sit now and what it would mean if they suddenly went from having a deemed permit to having no consent and exercising their rights under a permitted activity, in all honesty, it's worse for them. And it introduces uncertainty to them that is of quite some, would be, I think, of quite some concern. Now, I know that's contrary to some of what you heard in public forum, but I'm just, bear with me. There's a couple of reasons why. Firstly, if you go from a deemed permit to a permitted activity, which means you don't hold a consent for the activity, and we then work on a water plan, and in the water plan we come up with activity classifications that mean you require a consent again.
And you've got no history.
There are two things that happen to you. The first is, after that new plan becomes operative, the new land and water plan becomes operative, that permitted activity rule can only be exercised for a short time. I think it's 6 months. If your application for a consent has not been decided within that time, regardless of whether it's summer or winter, you have to stop irrigating because you have nothing. You don't have a permitted activity to exercise and you don't have a consent. So you could actually end up with no water for a period. That's number one. Number two is that Section 124 of the Act gives deemed permit holders existing use rights. That means if you have a consent and you continue to have a consent through this 5 year or so period that we're going to have this short-term plan change for, you can continue to exercise that consent so long as you apply in time until your new permit application is decided under the new land and water plan. So that gives you at least a certainty of supply until a decision is made on your application under the new land and water plan. But even more than that, if you have a consent, so you go from a deemed permit to a 5 year consent, and then you're applying for a consent because you're an existing use holder under Section 124, you actually have priority over anyone else who's trying to get in for an allocation. So the law says we have to decide those applications ahead of anyone else. So, you know, if Joe Bloggs down the road thinks, great, I'm going to start up a dairy farm and I'm going to need heaps of water and I'm going to irrigate all my pasture, and I'm going to rock up with a consent application. Haven't had one before. If you've got a consent and you need to replace it, you get priority. If you're operating under a permitted activity, you got nothing. You're in the same boat as Joe Bloggs, who's rocking up for the first time. So I wanted to take a bit of time to explain that. I'm not sure if you... had the time to read other advice we've given you, but really what I wanted to try and explain was that's why we haven't offered a permitted activity option, because it's more uncertain for existing consent holders. And, you know, I'm a little concerned that that was the advice that you heard. Okay. So...
Shall we do this now by asking for questions?
Yes.
Hang on for a minute. I just want to check with all of you. Look, I'm very much aware of the time, and this is the end of a fairly long day. If we do questions, they are questions that elicit answers, not about opinions. You know, do you know the difference?
Yeah.
Okay, so they'll be short and snappy. And then I'd like to actually go around the table, as we've done before, and people say where they think they're heading before we put the motion. Michael, are you happy with that?
Well, before you start, Mary, we've got 25 minutes until 5 o'clock. This is a huge issue of real relevance and importance to our region. Is there the opportunity for us? We've had a long day. We've been here since 9. And we've got to have a good discussion and then make a decision. Is there opportunity to extend today's meeting into tomorrow?
Into tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, let me ask the people.
Or to carry on past the 5 o'clock. Slate of time.
I don't feel like I need to. I'm very clear on where I sit.
Yeah, let's just have a... Let's just whip around the room. Have you got lots of questions?
Not a whole heap.
Michael?
I'd like to have some exploration of option D.
Okay, all right. You're pretty sure. Where are you at, love, Carmen?
My apologies.
Are you fairly sure, or you want some questions?
I quite liked Councillor Noon's idea of, was it option B,
okay,
extending the time, I think from 5 to 10. Yep. That's probably where I'd...
Do you need more time? Do you need to go on longer tonight, or do you want to come back tomorrow morning?
God, no, I'd rather go now. Carry on now.
Okay.
Yeah, question is whether we have any, and we're in public now, but any further legal questions, and whether or not we need to resolve anything like that and come back next week at council.
Holy shit. Right, sorry.
No, I'm happy to make the decision myself now, there is that opportunity.
I have to say, if you delay this decision today, you are making it extremely difficult for staff to be able to achieve the time frame we need to meet the minister's time frame.
Yeah, that's the problem we're at.
Where are you? Yeah, Marin?
Yes, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, as May said, we have limited discretion. So to reply to what Carmen just said, you know, she would like to increase it from 5 to 10. It's not about what we like. We have limited discretion. We have to fulfil the requirements of Minister Parker's, and there's only one option.
Okay, love, I'm not asking for your opinion yet. I'm just trying to ascertain how much time we need in this discussion right now. We've got half an hour. What are you at?
Yeah, look, I would like to buy some time, but... I understand the pressure under staff, on the staff, and also pressure in terms of the timeline we're trying to meet. It's a major decision, really important. If we can buy some time, that'd be great.
Who are you, Kevin?
I'm firmly with one wee change of wording, but firmly on option B, also saying that meets many of the minister's recommendations, but also recognises the work that the irrigators.
Do you need more time, though, tonight?
No, I don't need any more time.
Okay.
Well, tonight I do, I mean, I'm happy to stay tonight.
Are people happy to go on if they have to till 6?
Yep.
Would that... Okay. People happy to go on till 6? If we have to, but let's try and be disciplined.
Just be really succinct.
Please. Mm-hmm. And absolutely on the knocker. Okay. Let's take it first. We have some questions and then we go around and explore. And the questions really are real questions. They're not debating points. Yeah. Hilary?
My question is, if we chose option B, would we then get the development of option A plus the description of the proposals of what might be able to meet criteria for a longer one, namely, which seems like option B. So is that what we would receive, and that might be either something like this catchment would allow for, because they're halfway through it or something, might allow for a longer, you know, here's the description of how... in what circumstances you would get to be able to operate either catchment by catchment however.
So I'll just take you to the timetable because I think I answer it slightly with the timetable. So the timetable works like this. You make a decision today and then we move into consultation. So we're not actually coming back to you with wording. We're going straight out to consult on the option that you tell us today. I suppose I haven't talked to the staff in detail about where they see option B going, but I wouldn't get too excited about option B. As I said to you, you'd have to prove. What I mean is I wouldn't get too excited about what option B can achieve. I'm not saying don't do option B, because you have to, under what we're saying, effects would have to be minor. And I think in water short catchments, now not every deemed permit catchment is water short, but in the ones that generally come up around this table in conversation, those catchments will not, in my view, this is just my view, achieve under option B, they won't achieve a longer term. If we stick with what option B says and talks about, which is minor effects, short and long term.
Awareness says, so because this is an answer to my question.
Yes.
Awareness says recommendation that we receive the report and approve options, and it goes on to say to be developed.
Yes.
My question was, would we, if we chose option B,
yes,
would you then develop a set of rules that would allow people, if they fitted in with them, to have the potential for doing it, despite the fact that you're,
yes,
fairly negative about the chances,
yes,
of them?
Yes, we would. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's right, and yeah, we would be bringing that back to you on the
11th of March.
Yes. So at that point, we could have...
that's when you get the wording.
Yes, we could then say, oh, well, the A plus things, namely the B, the plus things,
yes,
isn't really going to work for anybody, so we'll discard it or something, but at least we'd have had them developed to have a look to see or not.
My caution about that is, it's just a caution, it's not because I'm telling you what to do, is that if you go with option B, you open kind of the Pandora's box of more debate, more questions, more everything. If you go with option A, it's actually super straightforward because it's A, and actually from memory, I don't know if we put it in here, I can't remember seeing it, option A is actually about 6.5 years, because what we're saying is... in order to make it all work with the new plan becoming operative, 5 years doesn't quite work. And I think we can justify that to the Minister. I think that's justifiable because it's to make everything work. The minute you introduce option B, which is, you know, kind of this extra thing, you widen the debate, that's all. And so that's a consideration for efficiency's sake, also bearing in mind what we need to achieve here.
Without talking about it, there is a legal paper attached. If you look on the second page of the legal paper, you will see the discretion, and you compare it with option one, and you'll see the list is of a different size. You see, without referring to anything.
Yes, however, people did say, and I'm responding here to asking questions about that one size doesn't fit all, which is a theme that we've got through the middle of this, and having the potential, I see it like a building industry thing. You either build a thing with this sort of building, a building piece of hardboard, or you use something that you have to then prove is equally good of this, as this piece of hardwood, and it's very unlikely that
Hillary,
you will be usually.
It's questions,
so,
and questions,
yeah,
only.
So, but I'm hearing the sort of, don't go down that, but we have got this fit for purpose. This one size fits all question.
Hillary, we committed to each other. They're short questions. Alexa, followed by Michael.
Okay, my question,
sorry, dear, and then you.
Can I just add a little bit here? Sorry, just another cautionary note. When we come back to you on the 11th of March, we will have the drafted words for the plan change, right? And we'll have done the consultation and the Section 32. Now, if you start changing on the 11th of March, you start redrafting in the council meeting, we just might need to make a decision of whether we need to redo the Section 32, which is going to put at...
It's out of range, then. We'll be
well,
passed.
In terms of timelines. So I'm just...
Thank you. Yep. Alexa, followed by Michael.
Given the advice from the Minister,
yes,
and given our acceptance of that, isn't option A the only option open to us?
Okay, that's asking for an opinion.
Yes. Can I have an opinion from someone or not?
Yeah, I'll give you an opinion because I'm not, just on the record, mm-hmm, I'm not giving evidence in court. So, yeah, you know, I'm not the planner who's doing this work. I'm your chief executive with a planning background. I think the solution that most matches what the Minister is asking you to do is option A.
Thanks, that's what exactly what I wanted to hear.
Michael?
I'll restrain my comments till later. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask paragraph 13, please.
Yep.
Paragraph
it's the
13.
The average thing?
That's correct.
Yep.
I'm struggling to see why you would exclude the so-called wet year.
Okay.
Why not? Because there are dry and there are wet years.
Yes.
In fact, there is no year that fulfills a pattern anymore. This year has been another wet year, 2019. So I'm struggling to see why we would confine ourselves, this is particularly in Central Otago, why we would confine ourselves to 2012 and 2017, which looks like loading the dice to me.
I actually, I don't believe it's loading the dice at all. What I think it's doing is trying to take the period that we have good information on, also trying to ensure that we are being fair, I guess, and that we're also not working in the situation where, because if you include the wet years, say for example you shifted that and you included the wet years, what technically would happen if you're looking at a maximum average is the amount of irrigation happening would go down, which means irrigators would get less. Yes, it does. Simple maths. You add wet years, you don't need to spend money irrigating when the grass is wet.
Sorry.
Therefore, you take this water, and if you average that over a five-year period, the amount that irrigators get is less.
So you're saying that you're actually trying to advantage irrigators by getting rid of the wet years?
We are trying to stick to the status quo as much as possible while finding a solution to using actual take. And that has been agreed by the focus group.
Well,
they can't agree anything.
No, they can't agree to anything.
Okay.
Well,
doesn't matter. No, it's a debating point.
Okay, can I ask a question? And then it's Gretchen, and then it's you, Michael. Okay. Managing the instant mountain of consents. So we have,
yep,
as a result of doing this, we'll have a mountain of consents in about 5 to 6 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct in making that assumption?
We'll have the mountain like very soon because of the expiry, so that'll happen. And then also you will have the replacement consents that need to be done. We've tried to smooth that a little with the 18-month time frame that we've put in place. But in all reality, we have to face the fact that at some point we will have that circumstance and we will just have to resource accordingly. Now, that said, a controlled activity arguably is much more straightforward to process than
discretionary activity. Here's a second question, and it goes something to which Michael's been talking about, and I'm confused. I passed a National Environment Standard on air quality. That forced councils to restrict and do, you know, set up rules restricting
this. Right.
So if I was a minister and I was really heaved off about some water quality issues, and I pass some allocation regimes or rules, they would come over the top of what we're trying to do now.
Yes, they become regional rules automatically.
Thank you.
It's consents.
Yes, it does.
So you don't have to do
So you can bring them in.
You don't have to do 128s and 1249s.
You'd have to do that, yeah.
No, you wouldn't. What? It would come over the top of it.
No, you'd still have to call it in consent.
You'd have to put them in.
Yeah.
You would. It would depend on the way the NES was written and how the minister chose to do that. So the minister could choose to make some provision that required consents to come in and be looked at.
Some factories had to close down in Christchurch. Full
the question for the minister.
That.
The word shall, implement or shall.
Yeah.
You know. It was done on certain things. Okay, Gretchen, then Michael.
Marin.
Oh, hang on, Brian.
And then Brian.
Yes, right. Gretchen.
Life of Brian.
Yeah, question would be about quality of data, so that when you're analysing the maximum rate of take, that you haven't got outliers, because if you're looking at an average, then you can be brought up by strange numbers, whereas if you're usually in science, you use a median. Yes. Yep.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly right. We have considered that.
Yeah.
I'm not the mathematician, so I'm not very. I'm probably going to explain it very well. But
there's one
we've definitely looked at that.
Yeah.
And we've also looked at the possibility that, by taking the years we have, that also discounts any strategy where you might have been taking more than you need to get your average up.
Other question is controlled activity. It sounds really straightforward for someone who has an existing deemed permit or an existing consent. All sounds very straightforward, but then there's people who have that but want to apply for secondary supplementary takes, or legitimately aren't in a very over-allocated catchment and want more water or new water, then what would their status be?
Okay, so I haven't looked in detail at the supplementary piece. Gwyneth might be able to help me with that. In terms of under-allocated catchments, that's part of the reality of the situation we're in, and unfortunately, if you have a one-size-fits-all, there'll be advantages for some and disadvantages for others.
There would be no avenue, or would there be non-compliant?
So yes. my understanding, I'm not a planner, but my understanding is it would be a non-compliant, be it effectively a new consent application.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a loser for those guys. And then just... Yeah, it's a funny question, but over the next, say, 7 years, we would have no environmental conditions, I suppose, on consents. We would have a maximum volume that people can take, but that would be the only condition?
No, we'd take you back. Remember, we discussed the principles, and as part of those principles in particular, data collection was one of those. So as part of the things that we would control, because you can prescribe what you control, data collection would be one of those.
So they'd have to collect data and they'd have to take a volume, but if you're a deemed permit holder that currently dried up a whole river, that's okay to keep going, There's no other criteria. And just the question then on that is, do you think that's what the minister's intending?
it's really difficult. I fully understand your point, but I think where the minister, and I'm just second guessing with reading the skeleton report and where the minister's at, is there, everybody has to make some concessions in order to make this work. And while it might not be an elegant solution, it is a temporary solution. And I guess maybe if I think about, the gateways for non-complying activities, and there's two and you only have to get through one of them. One is a fix a minor. Normally a lot non-complying activity has a bit of trouble getting through that. The other one is that there's a circumstance, and one of those is temporary. And temporary is not defined in the Act, and I know that there have been consents granted for an excess of 5 years for temporary permits. And so I'm wondering if some of that knowledge about how non-complying stuff works may have been inside some of the thinking. Look, like I say, I don't think it's a perfect solution. I think it's just the best solution that the Minister could come up with for this interim period while we get our planning framework sorted out.
Gia, I need to make a reasonably urgent call.
Please do.
But can I do that now?
Absolutely, love.
Before you start dealing with the...
Yes, sir, absolutely. I've got two more people, Michael Deeker and then Brian.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to have some expansion of the oblique conversation that was going on a while ago to do with direct reference to the Environment Court.
All right.
And the Chief Executive's discussions with a...
Judge.
Potentially helpful Environment Court judge.
Yes.
And what did all that mean, and what does it mean for our decision making on these options?
Shall I start?
You start.
Okay. So, in any scenario, there are options for how you might process a plan change.
Yep.
So, there are the normal council process. There's the normal council process where you go through Schedule 1, you have a hearing by council appointed commissioners. Council makes a decision on the plan change, it's appealed, and you go to the Environment Court, and then it might be appealed again to the High Court and so on. There are two provisions, from memory, that we could potentially use that streamline that process. One is direct referral to the Environment Court, so you don't have the council hearing, cuts it, all that out, and you go straight to the Environment Court and they make a decision. The other one is call-in or proposal of national significance, which is the new term for call-in. The threshold's quite low, pretty sure you'd get through that. And that's where effectively...
The
Minister calls it in, that's right. We notify the plan change. And basically from there, the EPA takes over the process, and it can go in two ways. It can go to the Environment Court, or it can go to a Board of Inquiry to be decided. That process, there are no rights of appeal to the Environment Court, and you go straight to the High Court on points of law.
Now, does that mean that what you've just outlined is what I thought you were talking about before?
Yeah.
Does that become our option D?
No, because you still have to draft the plan change. So you've still got to decide one of those three options because that's the substance of the plan change. So we still have to do that work. We just simply give it to them to effectively run the process from the notification stage.
Can I ask a corollary to that? Because the next question would be, whatever choice we make today, can we still move that motion? That we want to go straight to the Environment Court, whatever the plan change might be.
I'm not too sure. This is just on politics. Yes, you could move that motion, but we need to actually talk first.
So can we get some advice for our next council meeting?
Yes, you can. On that. Absolutely. That's what I've got a phone call in at the moment.
Do you want that but the
March? Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
Yeah, the blessed man happens to be in Davos at the moment and not answering the phone when I'm awake.
Thank you. Anyway, that's
can I just there's a lovely thing that can happen and did happen with the Lower Waitaki and Project Aqua, is that if you go the inquisitorial way rather than the adversarial, that actually lessens costs to people to a certain degree, because people can appear before a panel, which will have an hydrologist on it and a biodiversity person on it and everything else, and they ask those questions.
That's true, but cost to us.
Oh, the cost to us, I wasn't thinking
big.
About that, sorry.
And you were saying we couldn't find enough commissioners anyway.
Well, we've got a real problem out there.
Mm.
Because everyone is going water changing. It's just like trying to get science done.
The side will go to the Environment Court anyhow.
Yeah.
If we're getting advice about whether to choose one of the other two options than the natural one, namely going straight to the Environment Court, or asking the Minister whether he'd call it in and if that produces an inquisitorial...
Whichever,
Can we, when we get that advice, can we also get some advice about what the cost... You're suggesting that the cost to people is probably less than things, and so that the cost to different people, because to some extent we've been back-footed on this because we got ourselves into it, so...
for us to pay more money than the applicants to get ourselves out of it might be not too bad.
That'll be a discussion, definitely, that I would like to have. I'm very conscious of Brian sitting up there. Is that? Did you finish, Michael?
Yes, I have. I was going to remind you about Brian.
Okay, Brian, love.
Boomer.
Thank you. Yeah, paragraph 13, where it says average of the maximum take.
Yes.
I'm just not clear what that actually means. Is that the average of the total take they take each year? Actual take.
Do you want to clarify that
for me?
That one?
Am I on? Yes.
Yep.
So that principle will be applied across the instantaneous, the daily, the monthly, the average, the instantaneous, the daily, the monthly, and the annual. Because we have to provide inner consent. We have to provide instantaneous take, daily take, monthly take, and annual take.
Oh, and you average that.
No. So for each one of them, we're going to apply that principle.
And does that make sense? The maximum of each of those average, presumably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Brian, is that all right?
To be honest, not really. But is it? I understand there's a daily and a monthly and an annual. It's the actual take that they take of those previous years, yeah?
Yes, it is. So we look at the actual, what they've actually taken over the 5-year period, 2012 to 2017.
Yeah.
And we will have data, hopefully, that says, you know, my instantaneous take was this, and so we'll find the maximum instantaneous take, and over time, well, the average maximum instantaneous take. We'll have data that says my hourly take was X, and we'll find the average maximum of that. So that's what we mean.
Okay, but it's the actual take. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely the actual take.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, lovelies. Kevin?
On option B, point under the restricted discretionary activity, there's two parts there which the area under irrigation does not exceed that irrigated during the 2018-19 irrigation season.
Mm.
And then
can you just tell me where you're reading from?
Oh, sorry, page 2 of the... of the deemed permits plan change in its page. Sorry.
16-17?
You're not reading the legal advice, are you?
No. This is what... page 10.
New rule with restricted discretionary, right?
Yeah. So the only comment I'd make on that, when I get back to it, now that I've found where it is that... The second point is the rate of take does not exceed the average of the 98th percentile recorded each year. So we're saying that's as much water as you can. It's counterintuitive, the first one, to have... So what we're trying to do is encourage better use of water and more efficiencies.
Mm.
And if we're going to use that water wisely, I just wouldn't have point one in that. By limiting the take, we should be then letting them use efficiencies to put that water wherever they may be.
Well, what we've said is we're not going to apply efficiencies.
Mm-hmm. Eh?
What we've said is we're not going to apply efficiencies.
We're not applying it, but the farming community will apply it. If all of a sudden that's the end of my water, right, so you're going to limit the water that I've got, and we know we've got... the long term, if global warming continues, we will drop the amount of water that's going to be available, so that will create efficiencies. I know we're not applying them, but farmers will apply them. So,
well, they may.
Well, they are now. I mean, I'm telling you now that they're actually within the groups that I'm dealing with. They are instead of irrigating 100 hectares, they're now doing 150 hectares.
Yes, but I'm not arguing with you about that. What I'm saying is that we're not imposing that upon them.
No.
But they may adopt efficiencies, but then I've also heard that it's hard for them to adopt efficiencies because
that costs money, and in order to do that, it's not bankable. So that's why I'm saying they may do that, because I think we're hearing two arguments.
That's two completely different arguments. The efficiency argument is what the farmer decides to do with his water.
It's not. Two different definitions of efficiency.
So I'm giving you my farmer's definition of efficiency, that he gets 30 litres per second, and he irrigates currently 50 hectares, right? And that's the maximum water he's ever going to get. So he decides that he wants to plant out a crop of apples and needs to spread that over a greater area.
Mm.
So we're saying now that that limits him from doing that.
No.
Well, it does. The irrigation area does not exceed.
Yeah. Exceed what he's already doing, because what we're giving people is just status quo.
I agree. Your second one does that. It says you're not allowed to have any more water. But what I'm saying, you shouldn't be restricting where I can use that water.
You've got area under irrigation does not exceed that irrigated during the season.
So at the moment I'm irrigating 100 hectares of pasture, but this is an actual case. I've got a fella going to put 400 hectares of apples in, so I won't be allowed to irrigate them?
Well, I think that's possibly... There's a whole range of things in there. So just to explain what we mean when we're talking about efficiency... We mean two things. There are two parts to efficiency.
Yep.
One is the efficiency of taking the water out of the water course.
Yep.
So you haven't got leaky pipes and leaky races and all of that kind of business. Correct. And then the other one is the efficiency of take. And that means you're not using more water than you need for a particular purpose.
Correct.
That gets controlled by a range of things, size of nozzle and size of spray and all that kind of drama.
Absolutely. So therefore, we don't need that first clause in there to get the same result.
I'd suggest that perhaps there's a reason that I'm not aware of for why staff have done that. I would say that area irrigated...
This isn't the legal thing, by the way, that we're talking about.
Right. Is also... and I know that people are saying, it's not here yet and all the rest of it. But also area irrigated is intensity... And therefore, there are other things coming down the pipeline around intensity based on the essential fresh water package, which is you need a consent for that. So perhaps we're just trying to be consistent. I'm not sure. I can give you the answer by email.
Kevin, the difficulty is that we are now in public session, and the actual document is a legal document that you're quoting from, legal advice.
I understand, but I'm just saying in practical sense that to me that doesn't add up. But with that in mind, if that's been the focus from the working groups, I'd like to move the motion that we go with option B.
Okay, sweet. Can we? I'm not going to move a motion now, if you don't mind. I want to actually now work around and just hear people not asking questions, but beginning to put out why they particularly hold a point of view, and this time I'm going to start from that angle. Gretchen.
Okay. Option A, and I think, like everyone else, we're in a bit of a predicament. I personally feel that this is, difficult for me to vote on, but we're in a predicament that we have to, essentially, given the Minister has pretty much told us we must. I think option A is fair and efficient. However, it doesn't consider the environment for the next 7 years, and that upsets me. It holds the line on volume, essentially, so it's the maximum take, averaged, but still is maximum. And I wonder about anomalies in the data coming in there with an average. I'm worried about not having environmental conditions. And then, yeah, the question I asked before about new water availability for people that legitimately could apply for new water at the moment, they'll be restricted through non-complying. That's a little bit unfair to them, but yes, we need a simple rule. That's what the Minister's asked us to prepare. Right, yeah. Some things to look at, though, and specifically spell out could be things like municipal tanks or schemes needing more water expiring in the next 7 years. There's some specifically listed in the water plan at the moment, so they're not out there as an idea. They are actually there. People requiring more stock water than 25 litres per day is another question. How would they get that? I guess that's a non-complying activity and they just apply. So if you've got an existing residual or minimum flow, you would need to apply that. Okay, understand that. I would have preferred if there were basic principles for acceptable environmental outcomes, even if they were just words rather than standards, descriptive type flows and principles, so that moving from deemed permit scenario, which is quite very historic, so you can take whatever you like out of waterways and dry them up or divert the river, isn't something we're looking at for the next 7 years. But unfortunately, to keep it simple, that's where we're heading. So I understand that, but it's with great sadness. Does this comply with our need for over allocation to be phased out? To me, that's a little bit questionable when it's a transition to being able to do that, but actually all plan changes are supposed to be compliant with the MPSFM, and it's questionable whether this one is. It's not really phasing out over allocation. It's not actually defining what over allocation is. Question would be, is there any impediment to grouped type consents coming through still over that period? I'm not sure, but something to think about. There's a requirement there to avoid transfer of water between sites, and I'm not sure exactly why we've got that there, but with grouped consents, it's something that we thought was positive at times, being able to use water for the best use, and transferability doesn't necessarily need to be negative. The process from here with the minister was a question. I guess he's happy with the scenario we will put forward, but whether or not we should check with him before we go out for full consultation or not would be a question.
We will be doing that.
Option B did seem quite attractive, but I think it's actually more onerous for those with less than minor effects. It's actually unfair on the good guys. So in summary, I think this is a holding the line, and it will hurt the community, and we recognise that it's going to hurt because it will stall future planning and investment in moving to responsible and modern environment. So there's that. And it's also going to send a false sense of what we do now is actually the future, and that won't be the case under the new water plan. And recognising some of the principles of people have put to us in consultation, that actually some waterways need to be restored. And what we're doing now is not what needs to be done in the future. So we're actually putting off the inevitable, and we're allowing people, I didn't see that bit that Kevin was just referring to about restricting the area irrigated. Maybe it does say that, I couldn't find it. If we're not restricting the area irrigated, then those who have been flood irrigating can do exactly what Kevin says and expand irrigation, and that isn't fair compared with how people have been treated when they've come for consents up to now. They haven't been getting the gains of efficiency. They've been restricted to what they've been irrigating now and applying efficiency on top of that. So I think there is going to be a shock in 7 years' time when people need to claw back even further than where we are now. So that's going to be difficult. Grandparenting is not moving into the real world. It's not really a stepped change to the MPSFM and into an RMA realm. It is essentially a rolling over. And, yeah, I think the community needs to understand that that's where we're at, and that comes with some adverse effects later on. We're not in an ideal situation at all. So, yeah, it's with great sadness today that I'll be going to option A.
Let's make a comment. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so option A... I mean, I could probably live with option B, but I still feel I need to pursue option B. Option B is a hybrid of option A. And going back to the minister talked about a short, narrow plan change. He didn't mention a time frame, but we've been fixated with 5 years, and I know option A talks about seven.
He did say five. Yeah.
Well, it's not in this report, but...
He actually said up to...
Up to five years. Oh, sorry,
my
apologies. Sorry, you might have forgotten. Okay, anyway. So I feel that with option B, there is an incentive there for water permit holders to, if they're not already on a pathway or a journey, to improve their efficiency or improve the ecology of waterways within their catchment area, etc. If they're not in that situation, fair enough, they should be on a shorter time frame. If they are in that situation, I feel that the gains, the journey they're on, is exactly what we are trying to achieve through the ORC, through eventually a revised water plan, land plan, RPS, what the NPS FM is trying to achieve. And I think that the minister, although I can't speak for him, but I do recall him making comments publicly about ensuring water permit holders were on a journey, doing the right thing, and I believe that option B would achieve that. Option B does take into consideration the whole bankability scenario with landowners who are investing heavily in infrastructure to improve efficiency. So I could live with option A, but I feel option B is something that I need to push because of the desirability for landowners that want and are doing the right thing. No water permit holders that are doing the right thing.
Kevin.
Concur with Councillor Noon. Just option B, and it is said in our paper that it moves away from one size fits all and it considers our regional variations. And it meets the Minister's requirements, including the MPSFM. It will be compliant and it's also cost efficient at the end of the day. And look, the Minister wants a target to have top-notch environment and top-notch water. Skelton says that this is our opportunity to be an exemplar. And so it's probably our opportunity now to show them that we can actually do it. And we need to look at the work that the catchment groups have already been done. They've been doing the science, they've been doing the work, and they've been progressing things along a very positive track. It has been, ORC has, in the Minister's views, clearly failed. So it's our time to support our communities, support the Minister, support our communities, and really option B gives us that option to do it. But I would like to make that change around point one, which would read the area under irrigation does not exceed that irrigated during 2018-2019 irrigation season unless it is demonstrated that irrigating further areas has no more than minor adverse effects.
Okay.
I think it is time... back the minister, but we need to back our community and back the very good work that they've been doing.
Listen, people, as we're going around expressing these things, there are a whole army of people over there writing down exactly, you know, and inside, you don't have to put everything in motions because this is going to be heard. When we come at the end, we'll do the motions that are set down here. 1, 2, 3. Michael?
This is a very uncomfortable process that we've all gone through. And in many ways, it's a case of trying to avoid the worst of all worlds, knowing that whatever outcome we reach is going to be inequitable. I'm acutely conscious of the fact that there will be people who have been rewarded for getting in early, who have been treated in a different way, and will have allocations of waters for up to 35 years when they've done nothing else except the early. And the way in which we're going to treat that inequity does nobody, frankly, any good. I'm also concerned that the minister, I don't know, is wholly informed. And I'm going to say this publicly because I believe this. I would love to have us taken up the invitation that was in that last line of the minister's office, which was to have, sort of letter was to have him here and for us, as a 12 of us, to be talking to him. And to hear some of the concerns of people who are actually out there implementing it. Because, Marion, even at a very high level, no matter how smart you are as a minister, there's always the law of unintended consequences that applies. And sometimes you're not aware of the detail and how it's going to work on the ground, even though it may sound very grand in a Wellington office. And that's always been the problem with Wellington, implementing policies that don't quite work when they hit the ground. Seen it over the last 30 years in public life. So where do we go? I'm going to hold my powder on the final until I see the final plan and what it looks like. I'm sort of comforted by the fact that we're putting it out for consultation, and I'm also comforted by the fact that it will probably get the overview of the Environment Court, which I think is absolutely critical, whatever option we choose. And I'm really looking forward to it going straight to an Environment Court, and in some ways that's the more important decision. Off we go, and then let everybody argue their cases in an independent forum from their various points of view. I'm really, really looking forward to that bit. The other thing that we are going to have to do is apologise, I think. We're going to be placing the rural economies and the rural towns of central Otago under enormous uncertainty over the next wee while. I've talked to a lot of people who are creating dynamic economies and jobs, who are concerned for their environment. And the thing that kills them most of all is the uncertainty, and whatever option we choose, we will continue to do that to them. So, yeah. And finally, Marion, would really want us to get the minister here. I'd love to have him, and I'd like to think that whatever we do before the 31st of March, we're second-guessing the minister a lot. This is what he really means. We've actually had to bring in somebody today to interpret to us what the minister said in a letter that was specific to us. And until we can actually say, is this what you meant? I'm still not convinced that necessarily the interpretations are correct. Come. Sorry, Mary.
Which option?
Yeah, which option you've avoided?
He's holding it.
I'm waiting until I see the final plan.
I'm going to call you David Cunliffe.
Are you not voting today, Michael?
I'm not voting on this issue today. I want to see the final plan.
Okay. I'm going to tell you I'm going for option A, but almost regretfully. It's only because I can see some big fish hooks in option B procedurally and in cost terms for applicants, because they're going to have to put up a really good case under option B. Look at the legal paper and look at the lists of things they've got to prove. Whereas something that's quite simple goes over. What makes me, and this is in a response to you, Gretchen, I understand that in the focus group, iwi and NGO, well, I think it might have been Fish and Game, were asked, dear God, this is not improving the situation. And they, because if you saw what iwi said when they spoke to us, they wanted us to do more mm-hmm. than we are currently doing. They accepted that as a means to an end. And that's where I come in. Because I do see this and have seen this all along as a transition. We've got this thing that's been hanging around Otago's neck for 30 years. We've come, we really are Kiwis, we've come right up to the very end. Yeah. And then we're putting all the pressure on to do something. And there's inequities being caused because of that, you know, of not dealing with it over the years. And so we've got, so I just see it as this is addressing one issue, that of the deemed permits, converting them into consents, limiting the time of those consents because we are also rewriting a water, a land and water, or writing a land and water plan. I have worried hugely about the inequity question when it began to hit me in any time. What I can think about is that those who applied early, some of them applied as much as 20 years ago. They've got another 20 years, 15 years to run. Okay, it is not totally an impossible scene. I, however, am more than a little upset to have known that we gave one 35 years last year, and that really heaves me off. Yeah. And the reason why I get heaved off people is nothing to do with this particular issue. It is to do with climate change. Where the hell are we going to be in 35 years in terms of water access and how much water is coming down those rivers and everything else? And that scariness, for me, says no one's blessed stuff should be longer than 10 or 15 years, regardless of deemed permits or anything else. I think we have a huge change. That is a conversation that I'm having with bankers at the moment. And with insurance firms, because insurance firms are the ones who are pulling the plug in England and in the USA about failing to insure because we have no notion of water availability, wind, temperature, the whole lot in the future. And the number of disasters that are occurring is putting the cost of insurance up extremely highly. Just want to say that because I do want to put that lens on it. Just want to reply to this. On David, and I don't like talking about the minister when he's not here. I'll just say one thing with an exasperation. A number of you, we bring in lawyers, you can test the lawyers. I bring in probably New Zealand's top public lawyer person, and now we want the minister because we're not accepting that the top public lawyer can interpret the minister's words properly, and so we have to have the minister. Bloody hell! Look, I'll strip naked shortly.
No, that's
too soon. But, dear God, this is, I mean, this is just without every consent. Time we raise the level just one bit. And if I were a cynic, I would say this was deliberately delaying tactics and not trying to get the job done. I want to get the job done. Even if so, you say that David doesn't know things on the ground. This is where David has lived and holidayed. Remember, he worked with Howard Patterson.
Yeah.
Remember all those things about him. This is his area. Why I was dragged up that particular river was to the spots where he swam and still swims and still camps. Okay? On the Environment Court, yes. The Environment Court, I'm really conscious of media being here, and I really am most uncomfortable about some of the discussions that have occurred here today. But we can ask, we cannot demand, and the reason that we cannot demand is because we don't know what the other pressures are, okay, on either the courts or on ministry capability if when we're doing a call-in. So we can ask for these things, we can't demand them, and I don't want you to get into a mindset that says that's automatic. Because it's not necessarily automatic. It's me and Sarah trying to find ways around a problem that we could see. All along I've been thinking of, here's X, what happens if we do that? And trying to actually manage this. I've gone with A. My heart goes with B. And I'll tell you why. It's because I listened and wrote to all those people, most of whom, by the way, were consultants, but to the real farmers who are in there. When I wrote to them and listened to their letters back to me, they gave me examples, and I thought, oh, shit, I'd love to be able to help at all those sorts of things. That's what B opens up, but it is very, very costly for them, and I'm not too sure whether they can achieve it. I'd rather do A. Sorry, darling, Carmen.
That's all right. It's a conscience thing in a way, a wee bit, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. I'm like you, but I'm going to go the other way. My heart says, actually, I should be doing A because I know it's the right thing, and that's what we've had May just clarify with us.
Yep.
It's such a diverse landscape. Everything has changed. We've got to think about everybody, not just the farmers. We've got to think about everybody out there. And the whole landscape's changed. But I like the catchments approach, and so I'm going to put my hand on my heart and I'm going to go for B.
Okay, love. Thank you, dear.
I had total correction. I have major concerns around grandfathering and some of the aspects of the MPSFM. I have concerns about the impacts on communities of whatever we do in the short term. I don't believe it's about efficiency. I don't believe in efficiency. I don't think efficiency, we need better and long-term solutions into how we use water. So I just don't like that argument at all. The first step in this, for me, is it a stepped approach? The first step is to do the work the minister has all but instructed us to do and that we've said that we would do. For me, that means that option A, with all its implications on investment and the cascading impacts on communities, is the only option we have. So all power to our staff to pull that in under option A. And I think if we don't get on with that, and if we go down the path of option B, we will not get to where we need to go. And I believe that the impacts on communities will be relatively short term. It's far from perfect. It is a transition. But the uncertainty that this brings is absolutely nothing compared to the uncertainty coming down the pipe of climate change. And I just think we need to address, and it's the only option that we can implement within the scenario that we find ourselves in right now. There is no other option, so it's option A for me.
Thank you, love. Michael D.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I came here today quite committed to option B.
Me too.
Because I'd been here on January the 7th. I'd listened to those submitters carefully. And I thought that is the best and fairest route for us now to drive down. But today has been yet another reminder of the principle that politics is the art of the possible. And I don't believe that option B is politically possible. Therefore, I'm going to be supporting option A. And just a little reminder while I have the floor briefly, we have had the minister at this table. He was here for a good hour and a half, as I recall it. It was a good, free and frank discussion.
Michael was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
You Skyped in.
Sorry, Michael. Michael. Yep.
And as I recall, the councillor who was most requiring the minister to be at the table was the person who said, I'm not coming all that way for an hour of spin, and didn't show. So reflect on that.
I came in on Sky Sport, and because of the communications here, they fell over, remember?
Anyway, darlings.
Anyway, I'm in the option A camp. And I just want to add one thing, Madam Chair. And I think you kind of referred to some activity that you might be doing, but I believe that could we adopt option A with the addition that this council provide a briefing for the rural banks.
The rural what, darling? Oh, yes.
For the banks who are active in the area.
Yeah.
And other financial institutions. I don't know who they are.
Insurance companies.
I presume it's mainly the major banks.
It's Rabobank and ANZ.
On our decisions and the process we're going through and the reasons we're going through it they might find that reassuring and, I think, to use their jargon, comforting.
Yep. Hilary, thank you, Michael. Brian, I'm going to come to you in a minute, love. But Hilary first.
I'm going with option B. I don't understand, and it could be my lack of understanding why it's more expensive. It isn't, because it's the same as option A. But if you want a longer term permit, then you would be putting more effort and things into, and only for the people who would, who can fit in with whatever narrow range of things that we would allow, in some cases, a longer term permit, if it's an acceptable option. So it's not true that it causes increased cost for everyone. It only causes increase. So it's the same cost as A, unless you want to try and achieve a longer term permit and you've got all your ducks lined up. So for anyone who's got their ducks lined up, it's worthwhile to have a go down the second route. And it might not get you anywhere, but I can't see why you wouldn't at least canvas that and have it out there and see whether there's, it gives any other people a potentially longer term thing, if what they're doing is exactly where we want them to go anyway. So this idea that option B is more costly is not true. Option B is only more costly for the people who already weren't getting it, and option A anyway, so it's not. It's just an, it's a second pathway. It's described in here as a second pathway. I think that it's useful to give that, because partly at the end of this, having talked to the questionnaire and the public forum and the focus groups, we end up with a general agreement that well, it says that there's a general agreement that a one-size-fits-all would be preferable if it was simply and simple and cost-effective, but the other, and that this option also had an alternative pathway. So what option A is fits in completely with there was general agreement. The end of that consultation stuff finishes off with a sentence that says, and that this option also had an alternative pathway, and there was a lot of support for one size does not fit all. Now, I think there'll be probably very few who are going to be able to line their ducks up and avail themselves of other options, but for the ones who are, it will be particularly galling if they have got their ducks lined up, they are doing what we want, they are developing themselves in the way in which we all want them to go, and yet even still they're stuck with this short-term issue. So I'm going for option B. I would caution us not to approach the banks. They're already skittery enough about any of this stuff, and listening to us is not going to make them more comfortable. Really, it isn't. It's better if we say nothing and the banks can be more optimistic than they might be with the paperwork they will end up seeing, than it would be if we clarify their minds and make it really clear to them what's possibly the worst case scenario for them. So I would suggest we do not try and comfort anybody who's funding anybody.
I'm not doing it on your behalf. I'm doing it for answering my own questions, and I think I'm entitled as a human being to go and see whomever.
Oh, yeah, no.
Thank you.
I thought it was on our behalf,
no,
Marion. Brian, Michael was inviting.
Michael was inviting it, but that's what I've been doing on my own.
Yes.
Brian, please. Brian, love.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, no, but yeah. I will disagree with one of Hillary's conclusions that option B isn't more expensive. SDE is recommend, has advised this, that they'll be very lucky to succeed. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of wasted money there. Surely it's going to be more expensive. Option A is not ideal. I concur with many of the comments, Gretchen's comments, sadness, you know, a number have actually waited for 7 years as it is for a transition period, but it is pragmatic. It's a transition and it best meets the Minister Parker's needs. We can't do this on our own. So I'm certainly in the option A camp. There was some discussion about inequity. There's always been inequity with water. The whole history of water was first in, first served, the best deal, you know, who's upstream, who's downstream. Now all of a sudden we're challenging that. Maybe that's good, but it's not new. In relation to that, some have 35 years. Well, some rivers have actually been through a minimum flow process, and I'm assuming that actually a 35-year consent is sustainable and reasonable in a certain situations. And the final comment, I'm pleased that we've been able to do this in a public forum and to be transparent, and we learn from it, the community learns for it. Anyway, I'm actually happy to move,
don't move,
recommendations 1 and 2.
Okay, all right. I accept that. Can we move to that, people, now? We've talked enough?
Can I just give you the one piece of clarification?
One piece of clarification and then you, Kevin.
Sorry. Couple of bits of clarification just to help you. When I was talking about expensive, I wasn't just talking about the consenting process. I was talking about the putting the plan change through, because it introduces more argument because you're talking about two different phases. But the other thing I wanted to say to you, which I'm not sure that you saw, was that even for option A, there's a non-complying dropout rule where an applicant who doesn't wish to meet the entry conditions can apply for non-complying activity and therefore can apply for a longer term. So there is still a dropout rule. It's just that we're not kind of limiting discretion around that.
Okay, people.
I ask for a division.
Yeah, that's right, love. It was somebody else put their hand up. It was Kevin. Just before I do that, before I accept that, Kevin, you put your hand up. What was the matter? Kevin?
That's all right.
All right. I accept the motion, which is that moved by Brian. Can he vote? Yes.
Yes, he can.
Seconded by that we receive the report and approve option A.
Can we take those separately?
Okay. Brian, can we take it separately? You're the mover. Can we receive the report first?
Yeah. No, if that's okay.
And can I have a seconder?
This report, can we redact it before we receive it? So is that then what? It can be
as per
released. Yes. So can we have it redacted and then receive it?
I'm actually stymied at the moment because redacting it means that we go. Okay, as I would read that, is that we'd now take another hour while someone went through and redacted it, then we'd take the redacted report back to us to receive it.
No, I'm just suggesting. I don't think it'll take an hour, so it's very little.
We don't need to do that. We've already got we've passed an earlier motion, Madam Chair, and if we receive the report, then it'll be automatically assumed that the earlier motion will apply.
But it will release with a redaction. With redaction.
Well, all the legal advice will be expunged and excised, and all the any discussion of legal matters.
Well, it's procedural.
It's all right. Okay. Can I amend that to read? We receive this redacted report.
Second.
Yep.
Seconded. Certainly.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
Aye.
And against? No. That's carried. Now can we go take up your second, your pro, what is it, pro forma one, that we approve option A to be developed as is in the recommendation.
And the division is
And I ask for a division.
Yes, actually, right. I need a seconder first. Seconded? You really want to, Carmen?
No, I actually think I don't want
you
to.
You don't want to?
No.
Seconded, Alexa?
Sorry, my apologies.
That's all right, love. It's been a long meeting.
Yeah.
So we approve option A, being moved by Brian, seconded by Alexa. Mm-hmm. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Division.
Oh, division. Oh, you have to call.
I've asked for a division.
Sorry, love. Okay, Hillary?
No.
Michael Deacon?
Yes.
Alexa, thank you, Alexa.
Yes.
Marion Hobbs, yes. Carmen Hope?
No.
Michael Laws?
No.
Kevin Malcolm?
No.
Andrew Noon?
No.
Gretchen Robertson?
Yes.
Brian Scott?
Yes.
One, that's 5-5, and I'm really sorry to have to tell you people, but I have a casting vote. And I'm going to cast my vote according to the way I voted. So option A has been accepted. I don't really like doing that, but I think it's the only way at 5:45. Okay, we have a meeting next week. Staff, can I thank you?
Yeah.
Okay, and particularly the early difficulties. That was really hard, and I utterly appreciate. Can you pass that on, Gwyneth, to your team that you work with? Because I think that was really hard. Thank you, Anita. Thank you, Peter. That was quite tough.
And the trouble that Sarah went to with her report, which we, I think, all appreciate.
Can I just move a vote of thanks to the chair? Trying conditions.
Yeah.
You were very professional. Yeah. And
I did promise to go naked.
Still waiting.
Well, apart from that comment, it actually did speed things up.
I should do it more often. Thank you, love. Done.